424-2600. We're looking forward to talking with you more and more on the morning show.
Yes.
Seth, have a good day.
You too. It was a lot of fun today.
Have a great one, everybody. Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here on AM 1320, 97.5 FM. We are WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. They're bracing at the southern border with tens of thousands of asylum seekers lined up, hoping to cross into the U.S. when a Trump-era COVID policy expires at midnight. Andrea Rudnick is handing out food in Brownsville, Texas.
These people's lives have been in danger. They've been under political oppression. They are not dangerous people. They have been in danger.
More from reporter Chris Fox.
El Paso Mayor Oscar Leaser toured migrant shelters in Juarez, Mexico, to get a better idea of what may happen once Title 42 ends.
There was a lot less people this week than there was last week. I did get numbers. It will be somewhere between 5,000 to maybe 10,000 that are prepared to come.
Federal dollars have allowed El Paso to retrofit two closed middle schools as shelters for asylum seekers. Texas Governor Greg Abbott's also deployed over 400 specially trained National Guard soldiers to El Paso and a few hundred more to the Rio Grande Valley.
Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen weighed in on the nation's finances at a G7 meeting in Japan today.
The notion of defaulting on our debt is something that would so badly undermine the U.S. and global economy that I think it should be regarded by everyone as unthinkable.
Republican leaders have been thumbing their noses at Democrats' request to raise the debt ceiling. Yellen's predicted the government will run out of money June 1st if they don't. Now to Ukraine's much-talked-about spring offensive against Russia. President Volodymyr Zelensky tells the BBC,
"We can advance with what we've got, and I think we can be successful. But we will lose a lot of people. I think that is unacceptable. We need to wait. We need a bit more time."
The head of Russia's Wagner private military group accuses Zelensky of being dishonest. New research shows tens of millions of people were forced to move within their countries last year because of war and natural disasters. CBS's Wendy Gillette.
The war in Ukraine brought the number of those internally displaced in 2022 to a record level, over 71 million people. The study from the Norwegian Refugee Council only counts those forced to move within their countries, not those who fled to other nations.
Weekly sign-ups for jobless claims in the U.S. are up to their highest level in 4 months. Bankrate's Mark Hamrick.
New unemployment claims suggest the labor market is softening, catching up with the layoffs of recent months.
New data from the Conference Board shows job satisfaction has hit a 36-year high. The happiest bunch? People who switched jobs or switched to hybrid during the pandemic and never returned to the office full-time. Dow's down 379. This is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
I'm Dr. Stork. Eggs are a staple in our diets, and there's only one egg with more delicious farm-fresh taste plus superior nutrition, Eggland's Best. With more vitamins, including 6 times more vitamin D and 10 times more vitamin E, plus 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. Available in so many delicious varieties, classic, cage-free, and organic. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
My friend and I are taking a trip to Mexico this year, but neither of us speak Spanish. So we downloaded Babbel and started learning Spanish fast.
Want to start getting conversational in another language in as little as 3 weeks? Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons were designed by language experts to be the most efficient and effective way to learn a new language.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com.
Happy Mother's Day from WFHR and Village Gardens. Celebrate with us by tuning in to the morning show on Friday, May 12th for your chance to win a beautiful flower basket and a $25 gift card from Village Gardens. Make it the best day ever for the best mom ever from your friends at WFHR.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 81. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 56 tonight. Cloudy tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers. Highs level off around 75. 72 Saturday with a chance for scattered showers. 63 Sunday. Chance for showers continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 68.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this May 11th, 2023. It is 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to talk to our good friend, Jasmine Caberhall. She is the 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension. Looking forward to catching up with her. Right now, one of my favorite people to talk to, Phil Brown from the Southwick County Historical Society, is with us. Phil, good morning.
Well, good morning, James, and good morning, Central Wisconsin.
I always feel there's a couple of people that join us on the air, Phil, that I don't feel like I have as good of a voice as, and I immediately feel like, oh, you should be doing this, Phil. Like, you should be the one doing the radio. You have such a great voice. Thanks for being here.
Oh, you're too kind, James.
How have you been?
Thank you very much. Couldn't be better. Yeah. Beautiful spring day, and everything is springing very nicely at the Southwood County Historical Museum.
There's so much to talk about there, and you and I in our pregame were talking about some really cool stuff that I'm dying to get into with you. But I would say sometime after the last time you joined us, some things occurred to me, and I was like, oh, I got to make notes, and the next time I talk to Phil, I'm going to bring these up.
Perfect.
With a museum like ours here in town, it's a wonderful museum. It's been around a long time. We've talked about the history of it. I'm curious about how you add new pieces to the museum. If you do, mm-hmm. how you're able to, and that end of things, and the new history, like how you incorporate like things that have happened in the last 20 years or 30 years, that kind of stuff. A little bit of a broad question there, but it was in my mind, and I'm like, oh, I haven't talked to you about that.
You know, that's really a great question because some of our exhibits at the museum have been there for 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's always a problem because we want to bring in some new exhibits that we have up in the third floor and things like that. So it's not as easy as just switching in some stuff and switching out other stuff, but it really takes some captions and some very easy to read captions because when our visitors come through the museum, it's you have a very short well, there's so much there, I don't want to call it an attention span.
No,
but we definitely want to be concise with our telling our local history story.
Yeah.
So we have a great lumber exhibit, which kind of stands the test of time.
Yeah.
We have some great merchants through the years.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple of exhibits that could be replaced, and we're already looking at that. We're going through our archives, James.
Okay, all right.
And we should be able to freshen those up. But a lot of that, those exhibits come right out of our archive area.
Yeah.
But that's a great question.
And I imagine that, you know, like a lot of things in life, especially with history, as you're digging through things, you might uncover new things or things that, like, I didn't even know that this was here or something.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I tell you, I just love going through our records, and you'd be amazed that we find that it was donated probably 30, 40 years ago, and I hadn't come across it yet until like last week, and I'm just fascinated with that stuff. And that's the kind of information we really want to share with our visitors to the museum, and of course, we're trying to improve our online presence as well. So we have Lori Brost, our administrator at the museum, and also Allison Bruner, who really help put things online. Yeah. And then, of course, we have our local historian, and that would be Dave Engel, who continues to write our quarterly newsletter, Artifacts. And he's always pulling out the artifacts out of his collection to share with our readers and our visitors.
Really appreciate the work he does. We have this thing, especially with the internet nowadays and stuff, we get on these rabbit holes. You know, I find this little bit of information and I notice I'm up for two more hours reading and researching about it. I would be horrible at you and Dave's job. That's all I'd be doing all the time, is just going down rabbit hole after rabbit hole. Nobody'd ever see me again.
Well, one of these days, James, I've got to get you up to our third floor.
Ooh.
That's where the mother of local history is located.
Phil, don't threaten me with a good time, Phil. That sounds like I genuinely would love to do that sometime. You brought up something in our pregame that I thought was really interesting that I had not thought of before, and I really appreciate. When we talk about the Historical Society, I think of the museum right away.
Yeah.
But this is a bigger thing than just the museum, which is a huge integral part of it. But we were going to talk a little bit about historic districts a little bit too, and I thought that'd be a good way to get into that.
Yeah. Because the one thing that I really, really love about the Wisconsin Rapids, Port Edwards, and Nakusa area, of course, Buren, is the mighty Wisconsin River is why we're here.
Yes.
And for 10,000 years, our early settlers have gone up and down that river. 10,000 years, Jan. Gosh, that's a long time.
It's incredible.
And in the Great Rapids, we're not called Wisconsin Rapids for any reason, but when you look at from Buren to Nakusa, there's a 45-foot drop in the river. So we are, you know, running waters.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, the name Nakusa is actually a Native American word for swift waters.
Oh, yeah. So, I think I've heard. Yeah.
So that's swift waters, of course.
I didn't know about the 45. I didn't understand that part. I'm just learning that. Wow.
If it was all in one place, you know, it would have been a waterfall.
Sure, sure.
But, of course, over a 10-mile period, it's a very gentle run, so to speak.
Very cool.
But that's the current of the river. What was interesting, when Native Americans and early trappers and traders would go up or down the river, they had to portage here in Wisconsin Rapids area because you just can't shoot those rapids, especially if you're going up river. So anyway, they would have to get out and portage. Well, as long as they were out of the river portaging, they would dry things off, maybe stay for a day or two, a week or two, maybe a year or two.
Wow.
You never know.
Yeah, yeah.
So this became a very, very early settlement on the Wisconsin River. So the city of Wisconsin Rapids, I give Mayor Shane Blazer a lot of credit, and also Kyle Kearns, the director of community development, and they have started to look at our historic districts of Wisconsin Rapids. For instance, our historic First Ward is up in the SS Peter and Paul neighborhood, up First Street towards Buren. And that church was founded in 1857.
Wow.
Now, we became a county in 1856. And that primarily catered to the French Canadians, who were primarily Catholic. And they came into this area in the 1850s and settled their first church. So that historic neighborhood, the historic First Ward, will be one of our first, hopefully, declared historic districts.
That is exciting.
It takes time, and and at this point we're at the point of identifying our historic areas. And another interesting area, James, is over on the west side around the St. Lawrence Catholic Church. Our Polish settlers came to the west side, established. So if you have St. Lawrence Church in the middle, and then you go around four or five blocks all the way around the church, there's our historic neighborhood.
Okay.
And when you go through there, a lot of those homes have been covered up with vinyl or aluminum siding, which is fine. But some of the original architecture from the 1880s, 1890s, even the turn of the 20th century, you can still spot it. And that's the thing that I
love. I'm looking for that now. I'm a nerd about architecture. Oh. So I'm definitely going to be looking for that.
Oh, I tell you, I've been working to identify the types of architecture. Mm-hmm. It's very common. Very common, and there's a certain theme. But also, the third historic district is based around Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Mm, sure.
Originally called the German Lutheran Church. And our German immigrants came, our German settlers came, and settled that neighborhood up around Howe School.
Mm-hmm.
So we have three distinct neighborhoods. Third Street South is another one. And it's interesting to note, I forgot to mention the downtown.
I was wondering.
Actually,
okay.
I was saving the best for last.
Yeah, you know what you're doing.
And, of course, our historic downtown, mm-hmm. we still have lots of wonderful buildings that we will hopefully save from the wrecking ball.
Yeah.
Because, for instance, that one building just kitty-corner from the Wood Trust Bank, that's the old wood block. That's one of our oldest buildings in downtown, built in 1894 by Franklin J. Wood. His father just happened to be Judge Joseph Wood.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We named a county after him.
Yeah. It seems familiar. The name seems familiar, yeah.
Wood County was named after Judge Joseph Wood.
The connection
His son was a very prominent businessman in the 1800s and built the building. Right next door happens to be that three-story building, which was built in 1905 as the Wisconsin Rapids Post Office.
I've been meaning to ask you about that building because as long as I've lived in this town, that's one of my favorite buildings. I love that building. I don't know why. I've never been in it. I just love the look of it. I like that. Again, I'm a nerd about architecture, but I didn't know the history of it. That is interesting.
Yeah,
it was a post office. Originally
the post office. The current post office originally was platted out and built in the late 1930s.
Interesting.
So that was our post office for many years. But I love those historic buildings. And then you go over to the west side, Meade-Witter Block.
Yes.
Absolutely classic architecture. That was built in 1926, 1927. Mm-hmm. How about the Johnson Hills building?
That's funny. Pam and I were just talking about that yesterday. We were just talking about that building.
Yeah. And then, of course, the First National Bank across the street.
Yeah.
So right on that particular corner, we have three landmarks that have to be preserved.
We get so used to seeing these every day that I don't mean this in a negative way. That's life. You see the same flower every day. It's not going to mean as much as the first time you saw it. It's nice to have these reminders of how important and how unique these things are to our community, to our residents. This is really cool to hear. What is the next step? Let's say that one of these wards or one of these sections does get this historical district, title. Does anything change? Can we not walk there now? how does it work? Is it going to be all like a velvet rope around it all?
Yeah.
Not that.
Well, we certainly respect everybody's privacy and their right to do almost anything they want. Of course, if somebody wants to paint their house pink with green polka dots, I guess they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
No matter how historic the house is, we certainly don't want to have rules and regulations that they would find prohibitive. Maybe that's an exaggeration.
Oh, yeah, but I hear you. I appreciate the exaggeration because I think that gives us a little bit of like a barrier there of what to expect if this were to go through, which I think a lot of us are going to be excited about seeing this happen. It seems more of a title thing. Not much changes, but it gets this title and has some preservation to it, some added a credential to it.
Yeah, and if you're in our historic First Ward up by SS Peter and Paul Church, you're going to take some pride.
Yeah.
So when it comes to any remodeling projects or maybe a new paint job or whatever you want to do to your house, all of a sudden they said, this house was built over 100 years ago. Maybe I should try this shade of paint instead of the pink with purple polka dots.
When we get the chance to talk with people like our good friend Phil Brown from the Southland County Historical Society, or the gang from Historic Point Boss, or any of these mm-hmm. things,
yeah.
I talk a lot about keeping history alive or bringing history to life that you guys do, and the vitalness and importance to our society of that. But I'm always reminded by audience members or people out there of the pride we get from these things and the joy of that kind of, like, we knew it as kids maybe, and then you get busy in life, you don't think much about it, and then you're listening to our conversation or you're bopping around any of these sections and you're like, oh yeah, that's right, I come from a really cool area, I have some awesome history to my area. It's one of the things that I love, because there's no wrong answers. Like, wherever you're listening to us right now, wherever you're hearing us, you have this same thing. Your neck of the woods has something unique and beautiful to it. Discover it. Encourage you to reach out and find out about it. And especially in our area, we're very fortunate to have people like Phil and our and the society around that keep this stuff alive, keep it fresh and interesting, and keep people wanting to come over there and discover more and more about their roots.
Yeah, and one of the most popular exhibits we have around the museum are all the old photos mm-hmm. of the buildings that were. And a lot of those buildings have hit the wrecking ball for some yeah. progress and maybe not so much progress. But yeah. anyway, we have some beautiful parks along the river.
Yeah.
And some of our founding fathers were very conscious of making sure that we had that views, those beautiful views, the beautiful parks along the river, mm-hmm. very unique. And so once again, we can share through the Southwood County Historical Society, we share some of those old photos mm-hmm. of what it was like. We're not lost in the past, James,
yeah.
but we're always willing to share the past. And some of the most popular exhibits we have at the museum, Southwood County Historical Museum on 3rd Street, mm-hmm. Are our old pictures of what our town used to look like.
And one of the cool things about, like, when you discover your own history and you do spend some time at places like the Southwood County Historical Museum, you're not only, like, figuring, getting some pride in your background and your history and all. It's important to know your history. History truly does repeat itself. It is one of those things that what once was old is new, and that kind of thing. Yeah. Meet the old boss, same as the new boss, all these kind of things. it's important to know that stuff, too. Like, there is a vitalness to this in society. We don't learn if we don't know the past.
And I'm so glad you brought that up, because we really started off in the 1830s and 1840s as a sawmill town. We mm-hmm. had virgin stands of white pine timber, mm-hmm. and we cut it down and cut them into lumber.
Yeah.
We floated them down the river, mm-hmm. and we thought that timber was going to last forever. James, it lasted about 50 years.
Yeah.
So by the 1890s, we're scratching our heads. We go, well, now what should we do? Well, we learned it from some of our friends in the Appleton or Fox mm-hmm. River area, Appleton to Green Bay. We started making paper.
Hmm.
My, what a great idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that went pretty well for mm-hmm. a while, didn't it?
Yeah.
And it's still going strong.
Yes.
Especially in Nacoosa and up in Buren. But all of a sudden, we have some, we see a little lull
yeah.
in the paper making. So now we're scratching our heads and we're going, what's next?
Yes. Yeah. And Phil, this is exactly what we're talking about. Yeah. That was perfectly done, sir. Very nicely done by you. But this is also a great reminder to people, to our community, to any community out there. These can be hard times, especially for a lot of our listeners out there. Mm-hmm. I think that I know I personally, and I know others that can take comfort in that, in knowing, hey, we've been through these kind of things before as a society. We've been through, there was a time where we thought, oh, well, how are we ever going to rebound from this? How are we ever going to survive this? That was 100 years ago. We're still here. We're still kicking. We can do it again. There's other ways. It's just a matter of putting our heads together, of leaning on each other as citizens in these things and figuring this out. It's a nice reminder of that. That's another important part of history that yeah. does that for us. It is the Aesop's fable that just keeps giving. History. It always has a lesson involved in it. That is really well done, Phil. That's awesome.
Oh, thanks. But what is next? That's so our children. children and our children's children can stay here and prosper.
And that's another thing that we talk about. You know, and you mentioned Shane, Mayor Blazer, joins us once a month. Oh, we love talking to Shane. Great guy. Shane and I have talked on air, off air about this. A certain, like, how do you keep a population? You know, how do you keep your young people in a community? How do you do these things? Certainly, there's a lot of stuff that you do nowadays as far as work or things to do, but one of the things that I think gets lost on a lot of people, especially, I'll be honest, people in my age range and stuff, the young people like history. Young people want to go to places with museums. They want to go to places that embrace their history, that own their history, these kind of things. Communities like ours have been doing this long before my family got here. I mean, it's been something that one of the first things we noticed when we came to this area was, man, there's history everywhere. There's history all over the place, and it's embraced, and it's carried with pride. It's carried with, not arrogance, but with pride. No, and there's a great balance of that there.
We say proud of our past, looking forward to our future.
Yeah, yeah, which is a perfectly done, and it's a perfect phrase. Things are, I wanted to get to the hours that you guys are open right now, because of course with summer here and stuff, you guys have different hours sometimes, and I wanted to see if that was the case.
Yeah, we're open to the public now on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. And we've had a number of traveling exhibits that have come into the museum this summer, spring and summer. And right now we're featuring a exhibit on German immigration into Wisconsin.
Wow.
Very, very strong.
Yeah.
Of course, Milwaukee is really the heart of our German population, but Wisconsin Rapids was the heart of some German immigration in the central Wisconsin.
Very interesting.
So it's really neat to look at one particular nationality and how well they've settled in to Wisconsin. So it's a great exhibit. Following that, James, in June, we are having the Navajo Code Talkers.
Oh,
now, the Navajo language is extremely difficult to understand, and it's very hard to break the code, so to speak. So during World War II, we used the Navajo language for top secret communications that couldn't be broken.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It is one of my favorite military stories ever.
Native American history. So in June, we will have that featured. And also one of our local historians, Bill Parker, has been learning the code, so to speak.
Really?
Or learning the story
of
using the Navajo language. Absolutely amazing. But how we all contribute. The land of the free, the home of the brave.
Yep.
We're a land of many, many immigrants. And
it's one of the most beautiful parts of America's story. I think the whole world has interesting stories. I think of one of my favorite comedians, Eddie Izzard. He says, "I'm from England, where the history comes from." Yeah, there's castles everywhere. There's some interesting history all over the world. America has a tapestry unlike any other. Ours is a mixture, is a conglomerate, is a beautiful tapestry of different cultures, of different people coming to this land and bringing those things with them and creating something that doesn't exist in anywhere else in the world. There is no other country like America. Our history is going to be unique as well.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, we have our faults, James, as we well know, but we certainly are, so many people from around the world still love us and respect us, and they want to be here. And somehow, some way, we have to resolve that issue.
I think of one of the things, not to get too big here especially with 1-2 minutes left in the show. But I will say, just as an example, you look at Germany. And Germany now is one of the most welcoming places in the world. It's beautiful what they've done. And they, you know, part of the reason for this is they have owned their history. They have owned it, and they can embrace the future. That you can do both. You can own the history, own the past, while also embracing the future. Mm-hmm. I'm a Jew. Jewish man, and I am dying to go to Germany. Like that should tell you something right there. Yeah. That, you know, I would love to go check it out. Exactly. I think it's a beautiful country. I've always thought it was interesting. It shows you what we can do when we do that balance of owning our past while also looking into the future and embracing the future. We all can do that. And our country is a good example of that as well. And this area is a perfect example of that. Phil, I cannot thank you enough for the time, as always. People want to find out more, we can send them to the website, swch-museum.com. It's a fantastic website. It's getting really good stuff over there. I like the blog and a lot of the things on your website. How about a phone number? Anything else that we can give them?
Yeah, we're 715-423-1380.
1580. yeah, 423-1580.
Thank you.
We never call our own number. It's hard to know your own number. It's
hard. Exactly. James, I tell you, there's so much history and so little time.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get back and talk more history.
Yeah, we're already looking forward to the next time you join us, Phil. And I'll see you over at the museum sometime this summer.
That'd be great. Give me a call. I'll give you a personal tour.
Ooh, all right. Yeah, I'll take you up on that.
Oh, good.
Thank you for the time, Phil. Appreciate you.
Thank you, James.
We'll take a break right here. We'll come back and have some more fun on Morning Magazine at WFHR.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Consider the folks at Family Natural Foods for everything you need for your planting season. They have been helping people select just the right seeds since 1946. Choose from an extensive variety of healthy-for-you organic and heirloom seeds. Growing your own food is one of the best steps you can take in empowering your health. Katrina, Stephen, and their friendly staff at Family Natural Foods are knowledgeable about garden planning and soil health. That's Family Natural Foods, Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help. Anyone can call or text 988 or chat via 988wisconsin.org to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. Trained counselors are here to support anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. You can also contact 988 if you are concerned about someone. 988 is confidential and free to all Wisconsin residents. 988, 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in 1,000 pieces. Just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her mom.
Your hero needs you
now.
Here's
your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Partly cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 81. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 56 tonight. Cloudy tomorrow. Chance for scattered showers. Highs level off around 75. 72 Saturday with a chance for scattered showers. 63 Sunday. Chance for showers continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 68.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this May 11th, 2023, 10:32 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here, and I am joined by our good friend, Jasmine Carbajal. She is the 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Good morning, Jasmine.
Good morning, James.
I always like to double-check. Did I get the name right?
Yes, you did.
It's such a beautiful name. I have to get it right. I should be fined for not getting it right.
I appreciate that, because you're one of the few that does get it right. So
Well, I can relate to that. Jasmine, Brittany, we got a couple of events we want to talk about with the 4-H. Before we get to those, I just thought we'd get a quick update. How are things going with the gang? How are the kids doing?
Everything's going great. We're getting ready for summer. And, you know, the temperatures now outside are telling us, okay, it's finally here. Yes. So we have a couple of camps coming up. A lot of engagement for those. So we're really excited. Our summer camp, we're going to do a couple of camps in August, like Harbor Camp and things like that. Yeah, so lots of things that we're preparing for summer and just trying to, you know, make sure that we're ready because once June hits, it's go, go, go.
It comes so fast, too, and it seems to go by so fast.
Yes.
How much of the winter is spent planning? I mean, I know you have events and things going on in the winter stuff to keep things busy as well, so you've already got your plate full, but you've got to think ahead a little bit. I imagine you have to spend, you know, kind of balance that time out.
Yeah, I think probably I would say February is when we do most of our planning for our summer. I mean, February, we already knew kind of what we were doing June, July, and August, you know, and then fair there at the end too in August. Right. So a lot of just those things, kids getting prepared and excited and ready to see what they're going to bring to the fair this year and all the great things that are coming. So yeah, it's just, I would say early in the year is when we prepare for the summer.
You know, one of the things that we talk with Laura about as well is how 4-H has evolved while staying very similar to, you know, people that were taking it 20 years ago and that. How you do that on paper, I would have no idea how you would pull that off, but you guys have. When we talk about that, though, do you have parents reach out sometimes and ask those kind of questions about, like, hey, I'm thinking of my kid joining 4-H, but what do you guys do? Do you get that a lot? Because I think of 4-H, and I think, well, we all know what 4-H is, but do you? Do you really know? Like, you think you know, but I'm curious, because I, without talking with you and Laura once a month for the last couple of years, I don't think I would know as much as I do.
No, I agree. We do still get lots of calls, not just parents, but even just adults that, you know, maybe like saw something that we did and they're like, oh, I didn't realize that you could do that in 4-H, right? And so I think we definitely see it. We see it as we're, you know, doing events, just like, what? And even from youth themselves too, like, oh, I didn't realize that I could do robotics in 4-H, right? Or sewing workshops that we've done kind of at a county level. So we still do. And it, there is still that traditional component. So, you know, people that maybe like are like, oh, I don't know, I really like, that's fine. We still have all those traditional projects. We still have some of the clubs that kind of focus on certain things, but it's just expanded so much more. And, it, you know, that's good because I think that's expanding that access to what we have, those resources.
And there's some relatability there. I think, you know, every bit, you know, WFHR is 80 plus years old. You know, we can't do what we were doing 60 years ago and expect to be relevant. You have to update. You have to grow. But you want to do that while hanging on to your core people, the people that got you here. You don't want to abandon them. You don't want to, you know, lose them or anything. So how do you walk that bridge? How do you figure that out? Everybody's doing that in real time. It's not just us or the 4-H. It's a lot of businesses, a lot of nonprofits out there looking at how you do that. I think we can all learn from each other as well when we see how these things go on and everything. And that's one of the coolest things to me about, like, the first conversations I had with Laura and everything before you joined us. I thought I understood what 4-H was. My sister took it, and she loved 4-H. You know, it seemed like a thing that ag kids got into, and something that I, as a city boy, you know, it seemed cool to me. I didn't have anything against it, but, oh, I would never fit in. Oh, there wouldn't be anything for me. You know, 13-year-old me is screaming at me now, like, hey, you could have been doing this the whole time. You'd had so much fun, and I'd stayed out of a lot of trouble, too. That giving kids nowadays such a great thing to be able to do like that. There's a lot of good after-school programs and a lot of those things in this area. We can't have enough of these.
I agree with you. And, you know, and something that I really appreciate in 4-H specifically is that we let the youth lead. So it's what sparks them. It's what they want to do. It's what they want to explore, what they want to grow in. Yeah. So to me, that's such an important component because I can come in and say, you know, I only want things to be this way. Mm-hmm. But if that's not going to be something they're going to enjoy, they're not going to engage. They're just going to be like, no, never mind. But when we are like, okay, what do you guys like? What do you guys want to do? What kind of projects do you want to see? And they're engaged and they want to keep learning. Like, they're leading, right? Yeah. They're learning those skills and they're leading and they're exploring what they want.
I know, especially as parents, one of our the bigger things is, how do I connect with my child? How do I reach my kid? That kind of thing, especially when they get to certain ages. My son's in his mid to early 20s, and it is still hard to connect sometimes. Yes. And everything. Still trying to figure this out. But one of the things that we have as a gift is kids tell us. Kids, you know, if you're paying attention, they tell you how you can reach them. One of the things that is so relatable, every child in the world can relate to, how it felt when an adult gave you a responsibility, mm-hmm. you know, and you felt like huge, you felt mm-hmm. so big and everything, and mm-hmm. felt like, oh, I'm a little bit of an adult now and stuff, because I'm in charge of this, or I get to jumpstart this, or they're asking me my ideas. It goes so far in building a child's confidence and giving a child an opportunity to use that brain, use that problem solving. Let them do it in these safer areas before they have to jump into the real world in real time and doing it.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's so much that a lot of youth go through that we didn't go through, right?
Yes.
The world has changed. And so being able to listen to them and to say, hey, okay, we're hear you and help you through that. I think that's so vital. I was at an event last night for our Juntos program, which mm-hmm. I've talked about with you before, in Marshfield, and I had a parent say, well, you know, we came to this country and we just want them to succeed. And I was like, and yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. And the youth is the one that has to do all the work. And so have you talked to them about how hard it is, because now they're navigating, right? Like a whole different culture, a whole different world that maybe you came and you gave them a better life, but it's still hard. So like the youth know, and it doesn't matter whether they're Latino, whether, you know, a person of color, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, they all go through different experiences that us as adults, you know, we might have gone through, and now that we're older, we sometimes forget.
Yeah.
So
one of my best friends growing up in Chicago, because it had it pretty rough growing up myself, and things were hard. And my buddy Jamal, his family was from Puerto Rico.
Okay.
And he was the only one that spoke English in the family. Yeah. So he had to, do all of that. And he's 13, 14 years old, and he was doing that. And I used to talk to him about this and stuff. I'm like, yeah, I think I got it rough. I don't have to do that. That whole other level. He felt such a responsibility towards it, but he also felt a lot of pride in it. I don't ever remember him complaining. I don't ever remember him saying, it was just kind of, but the pride that he took, I can't imagine whatever he's doing now, the confidence that he has because of those things.
Yeah.
This kind of stuff exists in our families already. 4-H really gives kids an opportunity to, again, build some of that confidence, grow from these things, and know what it's like to have a little bit of responsibility or to lead something.
Absolutely. Yep. We have that space for them. And Laura and I, we're here to support them. We're here to support the volunteers so they know how to support the youth, right? And so, I love it. We can talk 4-H, I think, forever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do want to get into the events. I know that's part of the reason you're here. So
that's fine.
I want to get to those.
We'll get there.
I want to take our time with it. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to get our break out of the way. Then we can come back.
Perfect.
We can talk right up to the top of the hour about those.
Sounds good.
We'll be back with Jasmine here on Morning Magazine at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Happy Mother's Day from WFHR and Village Gardens. Celebrate with us by tuning in to the morning show on Friday, May 12th, for your chance to win a beautiful flower basket and a $25 gift card from Village Gardens. Make it the best day ever for the best mom ever from your friends at WFHR.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. partly cloudy this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 81. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 56. Tonight, cloudy. Tomorrow, chance for scattered showers. Highs level off around 75. 72. Saturday, with a chance for scattered showers. 63. Sunday, chance for showers continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 68.
Welcome back, everybody, to Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We are hanging out with our friend Jasmine Carbajal, 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension, Wood County. Jasmine, thanks again for being here. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
Got a couple things I'd like to talk to you about before we wrap up, and they are about some great events coming up. Let's go ahead and go in chronological with these.
Sure.
4-H Foodie. Yes. This is always a fun one.
Lots of foodie. It is, now that we're talking about summer coming, it is time for foodie, even more foodie. So we've been doing foodie every month during the year, but now that July is almost here, and I know it's the beginning of May, but July is almost
yes,
here.
Yes, it is.
We do foodie every Thursday, but before we get into that July stuff, our last like yearly foodie is going to be Wednesday, May 24th in Albertdale. So you know that I love to do programming across the county because our county is so big, so I always try to see if I can make partnerships and places that I can do that. And so this one, we partner with the family and consumer science teacher in Aberdale High School.
Nice.
She's going to let us use her space. And so we're going to be coming Wednesday, May 24th from 6 to 7 to the high school there in Aberdale. And we're going to be doing some pastas called 4-H Foodie Pastalicious. Do you like pasta?
Now we're talking. I'm Italian. Yeah. I have to I legally have to like pasta.
Yeah, it's true.
I love pasta.
It's true. You might get, you know, get taken out of the will
out.
If you...
Yeah, yeah. I can't have that.
So we're going to be learning how to make pasta from scratch and make some just yummy dishes and learn about grains and just, have some fun with it. It is $5 per participant just to cover materials. I was having that conversation with a future partner about how much do you charge? Is it really expensive? And I'm like, no, because if you let me use your space for free, I don't have to charge the kids use your space. It's just basically to cover the materials for that day. So I do want people to register by May 15th, so they have through the weekend. And we have a flyer that people can find on our website, on our Facebook page, where they can just click the link and go and register for that.
I'm very spoiled when it comes to this. My Nana made pasta from the old country, from Basil, from Venice and everything. So we'd make our own marinara, we'd make our own noodles, and didn't do it every time, but we did it a bunch, and enough to where I was when I was a kid to remember a lot of the process and everything. It is so cool, and it's such a fun thing to be a part of when you're young, especially to be able to see all this happening. Literally knowing how the sausage is made, that kind of thing. Kids love that stuff, and then the pride that they have in the food that they made and people eating it.
Yes,
there's nothing like that. It's something that never gets old, no matter how old you get, making food for somebody and them enjoying it and how great that feels.
And we know that if you involve youth kids in the cooking process, they will be more likely to try things. So it's one of those things where I've had parents be like, I can't believe they ate that. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? They took such pride in making it that they better eat it. They want to eat it. They're not going to give this away. So do you have a favorite memory, your favorite pasta? Share it with me.
So my angel hair was one of those things that was really hard to make, actually, I thought, when I was young. So I was really a fan of making the rigatoni, noodles. They're the chubbier noodle kind of thing. They a little rounder. To this day, I would maybe give up radio just to make rigatoni noodles all day.
I love it.
It's so much fun. And it's one of those things where I think it's great to see the food. It's great to eat the food. You might not believe this, but you get such a different flavor almost out of these things. It's a weird example maybe, but Skittles are all the same flavor, but the color of them are different. Mm-hmm. So when we see it, our brains think orange, so we're eating orange. Mm-hmm. When you know how these noodles are made, you know how the sauce is made, you almost taste the ingredients. You almost feel a lot of that more. So I think that part's a fun part
too,
awesome. For kids especially.
And the goal with foodie, it's always been kind of I want them to learn the skill, learn all these skills, all these recipes so they can do them again.
Mm-hmm.
And it always fills my heart when they tell me, if I see them the next month, I made that and it turned out great. And it's yes, check mark. I did it.
Yes,
you,
yes.
You learned it. You practiced what you learned. You applied it. So that's awesome.
Is this for certain age groups or anything?
So great question. It is for third graders and up. Mm-hmm. I've mentioned this before too. Like a little, I start with third graders and up just because they're a little older.
Yeah.
They know usually how to handle a knife, even mm-hmm. though I tell them how to handle a knife again and again during the class. So yeah, so this, but sometimes we do open it up. So, you know, I always tell families, like, make sure you stay posted on our Facebook page, mm-hmm. on our website, because sometimes we do some that include, like, kindergarten and up. So,
yeah.
Third graders and up for this one on May 24th.
And one thing you and Laura always I love you guys for this, always very adamant about promoting, that $5 that it takes for this, we really appreciate it because it helps the 4-H continue to do these kind of things, but we don't want that to hold anybody back either.
Right. It's something that we have always talked about. We will always find a sponsor or a scholarship or something. And it's something that, you know, I always like to share with our partners too, mm-hmm. because it's like, you know, if you just want to make a donation specifically for Foodie, then I can offer a class for free, right? Like, then I can cover those materials. And we are very thankful that we do have some great sponsors and some great mm-hmm. donors. So when we do have those opportunities, we take advantage of that as well.
Yeah, and a big thank you to all those sponsors out there and the people that host these events. It's greatly appreciated. I will recommend to anybody out there listening that be like, well, I got a space. We can host.
Yes.
Please reach out to Laura, Jasmine, you know, reach out to you guys, and we'll give that information before we wrap up today.
Yeah, that is half the battle, is if you have a space, just let us know because we'll bring everything else.
So one more time, the date of the event and how people can register for it.
So it is Wednesday, May 24th from 6 to 7 at Auburndale High School. $5 per participant. It's for third graders and older. And if they can, please register by May 25th by following the Bitly link on the website mm-hmm. or our Facebook page. And I think you have that up there.
Yeah, yeah. And what I did, I tried this out this morning. Yeah. I just typed in Wood County 4-H. Yep. That's all I typed in, and it popped up right away.
Yeah, perfect.
So it's another great way to be able to find the website and without having to try to give these website addresses over the air.
Yes, it's the simplest way. And, you know, once you're in the website, we have a staff directory. So mm-hmm. even if you want to contact me directly or Laura, you can just find us there. Search us there and you'll find us.
4-H Foodie is coming up May 15th. Mark your calendars. And Foodie, 4-H Foodie Thursdays is just a thing. We got to remember this is going on strong and through July and on.
Yes. So every Thursday in July, I'm so excited to bring this back. So as you know, I've only been on for about a year, over a year.
Gosh, it's so weird. Sometimes it feels like you've been here for a lot longer, and other times it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. So 4-H Foodie was something we actually started for the first time in July last year, mm-hmm. and it was such a big hit that we're bringing it back.
Cool.
So every Thursday in July, we're going to be meeting over at the Extension office. Mm. This is more just a save the date. I'm going to put some more details out later this month, but we'll meet together. Mm-hmm. We'll walk over to the farmer's market, and we'll buy some ingredients, and then we'll walk back, and then we'll cook something. So why this has been so popular, I think it really gets us out enjoying that summer weather, and we get some exercise in, and then it's that farm-to-table, supporting local businesses portion of it. So if there are any vendors out there listening that are going to be at the farmer's market this year, let us know if you want us to stop at your booth, because some of the things that last year we did is that each week we would stop at a specific vendor, and they will tell us about their business and what they're growing and how they do it. And, you know, and that was just so powerful for the youth to see that.
We are constantly looking for ways to find more empathy, opportunities for kids to have empathy in our society and to feel for other people, to see the other side of the tracks or any of these kind of things. Our ag industry is so vital in this country, in this state especially.
Yes.
And we talk about buying local, supporting local, going to farmers markets a lot on the air here. It's another thing to be able to do this on the other end of stuff with the youth, and why buying and supporting local is so important, and teaching them why it's so important.
Yes.
It's every adult has done this, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I bark, but I don't do what I'm barking. This is an opportunity where you're buying local, support local, and then they actually see you doing it.
Yeah.
That's key to this. Kids are smart. You can't fool them. You know, you might be able to con them a little bit when they're young babies and stuff like that, but that they grow out of that quick.
That's true.
They are sponges picking all this stuff up. So you really believe in these things. You really want to do these things. This is how we make them happen. This is how we create great future generations of doing these things. It may seem like simple, or I mean, it may not seem that complicated, because it's not. It doesn't have to be that complicated. Mm-hmm. I love the idea of having the Foodie Thursdays. That's really cool in general. But the walking about, the going to these places, the live interaction yes. stuff, there's so many layers to this that are bigger than food even.
You know, it's so simple for me to come in on Thursday and say, okay, here are the ingredients that we're going to use. Let's cook something, which is what I do during the year, what mm-hmm. I did this past year. But it's such a different level of commitment and enjoyment when the youth get to, hey, what carrots are we going to pick and why? Mm. And talking to that vendor about, like, what do you recommend and why?
Yeah.
And coming that from them directly, like, that is just so beautiful. And I know last year we even had a vendor who taught some of our youth that came how to make gorditas. So even cool. that cultural component yeah. that I, like, yes. I was not planning on doing that at all. And she's like, come on in. Let's make some. Yeah, let me yeah, show you how to yeah. do it. And I'm just like, that's awesome, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I am stepping away. You teach them. And I just watching them learn and do that. So yes, I am so excited.
Great component of it. I didn't think about that part of it. Yeah. That is really cool. I also, as you're saying that, I thought of another thing too, where, you know, we've seen reports over the last couple of years of our farm, some of our farms not being around, some people not wanting to continue the family farm, that kind of thing. That's been a story since we were kids.
Yes.
You don't know what you might spark in a kid, and maybe they want to start a farm. Yeah. Maybe they want to get into this industry. It's another layer of this that seems really cool. It all kind of ties back to what the essence and the message of what 4-H is. It's not at all getting away from that. It's evolving it.
Correct.
I really think that's cool.
I love how you put it. That's exactly it. With the 4-H Foodie Thursdays here in Rapids, we are actually adding a pop-up on July 11th. And so, again, I'll send more details out later this month. But in Marshfield. So last year we tried it out here in Rapids. It was such a huge success that we're bringing it again this year, but that I also had some families that, like, well, we live like in this part of the county and that's a little far, especially in the summer. So we're gonna try it out July 11th in Marshfield as well. It's a Tuesday, because I know they have like a Tuesday's market and a Saturday's market. We're just, I think, expanding slowly. I was telling Laura, I'm like, I also don't want to expand too fast, because there's only one of me and one of you. And tons of summer programming. But yes.
That does remind me to remind the audience that they're always looking for volunteers with the 4-H and could always use an extra set of hands when it comes to this stuff. And it's some of the most rewarding volunteering you're going to do.
Yes, I agree. You know, we always say to adults when they're like, well, we kind of want to help, we always start with, what do you like to do? Because we want you to do things that you enjoy, because that enjoyment is contagious and the youth are going to enjoy it too. So if there are any adults out there or even youth, you know, 19, 20, at that point they've aged out of 4-H, but they still want to keep doing projects. Let me know if you like cooking, if you like exercise. We're going to be walking, and come join us and see what it's about. And we always are looking for leaders in different projects.
Especially for age ranges around there. You're looking in colleges. Yeah. They love that stuff on a college resume.
Absolutely.
Looks really good on a college resume.
Absolutely. And not only that, but the connections that you make. You know, Laura and I have been fortunate that we've worked with some great youth. And now we're getting to the point where they're asking for college recommendation letters or like employer recommendation letters. And it's great, right? Because we see them go through this, and now they're volunteering, and now they're doing this, and it's always happy. We're always happy to do that. So yes, for sure.
And I imagine, as you said, you know, we'll be giving more details on the Foodie Thursdays as they come. And Jasmine and Laura are fantastic about getting that information to us so we can get it to you on the air. We'll get you more details about it. Is there anything we could tease? Is there anything that you're thinking about? You're like, oh, I'd like to do this one. I think we might do it.
I
don't mean to put you on the spot, but
James,
I have to ask.
You're just trying to get all the secrets today.
I am a journalist. I have to ask the hardball questions.
I will tell you, one of the things that we're planning this summer is sushi.
Ooh, nice.
I know.
You guys don't make it easy on yourselves, do you? You pick these foods that are great.
It's so fun, because some of them might be a little more complicated, but it's okay to do challenging things.
Because then
they can see, like, and actually, sushi is super easy.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never made that one.
But you might think it is, right? And we explore creativity too. So, because it's all based on what we find at the farmer's market that day, which is part of the challenge.
Another angle of this I didn't think about, using that imagination.
Yes.
There's never going to be a time, no matter what a young person does in their life, problem solving, their imagination is going to be key in that job, whatever it is. So getting a little bit more, working those muscles out is never a bad idea.
That's a cool part of this. I didn't think of that. Being flexible, being just going with the flow, like, okay, this is what we found. This is what we're going to put in our sushi today.
That's great.
So yeah, so that's going to be one of the weeks.
Thanks. Thank you for sharing that. That's
You're
awesome.
You're welcome.
Before we wrap up, just got a couple minutes left. Again, wanted to remind people about volunteering. Appreciate anybody that can volunteer with the 4-H. It goes so far, and it helps Laura and Jasmine do the great work that they're doing. One less thing that they have to worry about when there's an extra set of hands to help out there. And we're talking kids. So come on, man. I mean, you guys know every set of hands counts when it comes to
That's
kids.
That's true.
And you touched on this in the beginning of the show, the camps that you guys offer. There's so much you guys do, we never have enough time. But I did want to mention those camps are so great for our area. It's such a great thing for parents and for kids alike. So do encourage people to reach out and find out more about those.
Absolutely. Yeah, Cloverbud camps for those K through second. We have cardboard camp. We have lots. We'll have like a multi-county outdoor day. Mm-hmm. So lots of that coming this summer.
Let's remind people again about the Pastalicious, the 4-H foodie.
Pastalicious, yes. Wednesday, May 24th from 6 to 7 at Auburndale High School. $5 per participant if people can register by May 15th. It's for third graders and up. And they can find the link on our website or Facebook page.
And Jasmine, if people have follow-up questions, they want to get a hold of you, is there an email we can send them to? Is there?
So my name, like you, even though you pronounce it really nicely, can be complicated, but it's jasmine.carvajal@wisc.edu. I would say just Google Wood County Extension and call that number. Yeah. And then they'll say, Wendy, I want to talk to Jasmine. And she'll connect you.
Yeah, Wendy's great. Wendy's awesome. And as I was saying earlier, testing it out, it worked very well for me. I tried it with multiple search engines. So whatever search engine you use, type in there Wood County 4-H. Mm-hmm. You're going to find not only the great website to be able to find out more information about these things and reach Laura or Jasmine, but you can register for these events we're talking about, find out more about them, and possibly volunteer with our 4-H.
Absolutely.
We always have a great time with you. Thanks, Jasmine. We appreciate the time.
Thank you, James.
Tell the gang hi for us.
I will.
We'll take a break and get out of here for now, but we'll have more Morning Magazine for you tomorrow, everybody, as we wrap up the week of Morning Magazine. In part one, we'll have World Community Exchange. Lori and Rosie are going to join us. And then in part two, we'll have Thomas Redbeard, advertising manager, and Robert Baker, graphic designer with Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, going to talk with them to wrap up Morning Magazine for the week. As always, a big thank you to Pam Hilke and the fantastic work she does week in and week out scheduling this show. We'll get out of here for now, but have a great day, everybody. It's WFHR, locally grown radio.